No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about education today, really the Central Indiana Education Alliance's Education Weekend. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, my guests are Angelique Walker-Smith, who's the executive director of the Church Federation of Indianapolis, and Charlotte Westerhouse Renfro, a lecturer of management at IUPUI. Both sit on the executive committee of the Central Indiana Education Alliance. Welcome to the show. It's good to have both of you here.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's great to be here.
Indeed.
Well, let's start here. Let's start basic. Tell us a little bit about what the Central Indiana Education Alliance is, what its purpose is, and then we'll build into the Education Weekend and what you're hoping to accomplish there. Angelique, I'll start with you.
Well, thank you very much. It's such an honor to be here, and thank you for the good work that you do in our community with this show. The Central Indiana Education Alliance, just renamed, about a week ago?
Officially.
Used to be the Talent Alliance.
Officially, it used to be the Talent Alliance, has been and continues to be a collaboration of various community leaders who care about our children from cradle to career, particularly with an education emphasis. This is a coming together of community leaders, educators, philanthropists, civic-minded people, all coming together to say, we care about our kids from cradle to career, and that education has everything to do with their success. And so this particular collaboration finds ways to strengthen our understanding of what it is we need to do to strengthen our educational practices. It's data-driven, great extensive data-driven capacity there to think about what are the kind of systemic issues we're looking at, and then also to create opportunities for conversation and dialogue to further the platform from cradle to career.
How long has whatever the name, whether it was the Talent Alliance or is the Education Alliance, Charlotte, how long has it been in existence and how does it work? I mean, the purpose that Angelique's laid out, I don't think too many people would disagree with,
yes. Well, it's been as a group and a growing alliance for approximately 3 years. And I think everybody would agree with the mission, but I think what's been missing is the collaboration and it's the alliance and the understanding that together we can actually get a lot more done. I also think the focus from cradle to career is extremely important. We have a variety of groups that, of course, are trying to enhance graduation rates, ISTEP scores. But I think this group also has business leaders involved because they understand how important the viability of the state is connected to education. We've got to be competitive not only in our country with our graduates. We've got to be competitive globally. But our businesses need the best and the brightest students to stay in Indiana, to be educated here and to stay here. So our vision is to have, as a result of this collaboration, and I'm going to do a little bit of name dropping of all the kind of folks we have. United Way is involved. We've got law firms involved, as members of the community like Brian Payne, John Neighbors. We have a variety of chancellors from all of the major universities. We have the Western Governors University that's involved. Mark Mill. I can just go on and on. Also individuals from government, Jason Cloth's office, from the office of the mayor. But I think what's really important is a sense of the collaboration, the alliance. And finally, people are really wanting data. They don't want anecdotes about education. They want to know the status of education, how well we're doing, what are their gaps, on an annual, continuous basis. And I think this is something that the Central Indiana Town Alliance can actually do very, very well and has been doing well for the past 2-3 years.
How often do you meet? I mean, does the group meet? Is it staffed? Is it, Angelique.
Yeah, we're very blessed that the chancellor of IUPUI is the convener through IUPUI, helping to pull us together. But we are also blessed that it has a number of tiers of involvement. So we have the executive committee, but then we have the wider committee where they're divided into committees and actual workforces that are doing the data pieces, looking at the lay of the land. But then there's an extended network as well that has some programmatic involvement as well. So it really is an alliance to try to figure out where everyone has a stake, can be convened along similar synergies and energies to make a difference, not only with the data, but also for action.
We are talking about education here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. So tell me about Education Weekend. What is it, and what will constitute success for it? Charlotte, I'll throw that to you.
Well, Education Weekend is going to be a showcase of five specific events that will be happening here in the Indianapolis area starting on Friday, May 16th, and going all the way through Sunday, May 18th. The real reason we're having this is to make sure that we are engaging individuals in our community with the relevant education issues. We want to honor not only our educational leaders, but we want to showcase some of the good things that are happening within the area schools. Mm-hmm. We want to, once again, always develop this community discussion, but I think this time we want to make sure we develop it in a way that's going to be productive and collaborative. And once again, we want to engage children. And we want to engage children and family in educational activities and venues that they haven't been engaged mm-hmm. before. So there are four specific events, and we're going to go through probably each one of them. But on May 16th, I'll let Angelique talk about the hearing that's going to be happening Friday at Marion University, who's been a wonderful partner. For the very first time, the Rotary Club is going to have Education Weekend Equity Awards that are going to be announced and awarded on Friday, May 16th at 5:30 at the Children's Museum of Indianapolis. A really big day. Well, actually, you're going to have what we call STEAM Day. And STEAM Day stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Management Day. And it's going to be held at a very popular venue you might not expect education to be featured. And that's at the Fashion Mall at Keystone. The Simon Group has been very, very open to having that there. And we're going to have 70, maybe more than 70, interactive activities that support science, technology, engineering, math, arts, hands-on activities for individuals to actually participate. We're going to have, Eli Lilly's going to have a chemistry is a blast. We're going to have arts. We're going to have children showing their science fair projects. We're going to have various organizations and groups singing. It's going to be a really, and I hate to say this word, it's not very educational. I have 3 degrees, but it's going to be a cool event. And then on Sunday, and Angelique's going to really get into this, we're going to have of two events. The biggest event I want Angelique to talk about is how we're going to get our interfaith and our religious organizations mm-hmm. who have been prominent and pivotal and mm-hmm. moving forward. Everything that's really been good as far as education, including the celebration mm-hmm. of Brown versus Board Education, a 60-year anniversary. But we're also going to have an event at the Indianapolis Public Library on Sunday, May 18th from 2 to 5 p.m. It's called Remember the Titans, which is a very popular mm-hmm. movie about football. Well, we got some pretty popular Titans here
yes,
in town.
Yes, we do. We're going to celebrate our own.
We're going to celebrate the Indianapolis Arsenal Technical Titans basketball team and their staff, and have a variety of movies and things of that sort going on. You know, do you know something? I just found out today, too, at the STEAM Day at the mall, the Indianapolis Arsenal Tech not only has an outstanding basketball team, they have a female barbershop quartet. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be performing.
Don't you love this?
I mean, really, there is a depth of a variety of outstanding things mm-hmm. happening. But I think the real thing as far as measurement for success, it goes back to what we're looking at, the data. Because of these various things we're doing in the community, engaging individuals, educating folks, we want to see an uptick in individuals enrolled in colleges, mm-hmm. all types of community colleges, enrolled online at Western Governors. We want to see an uptick in the number of individuals, for instance, who are getting honors diploma. Yeah. We want to see an uptick in families having knowledge about the wonderful resources that they can use with their students hands-on or during the summer mm-hmm. to maintain retention. So there are a lot of ways for us to have actual measurable data after we have these events. Mm-hmm. But can I turn it over to
Angela? Well, yeah, before we do that, because you've been cued a couple of times here,
yes,
and a couple of things.
Yes.
But if people want to get more information, is there a cost to attending any of these things? Are they all free to the public?
Absolutely free. The public. And they're
great.
Not just the types of things where you come and you see a booth and you pick up things. Mm-hmm. These are interactive events. They're going to be events that are going to celebrate for the first time some of our major leaders here in education. They're going to be moving events. The hearing is going to be an interactive event.
Yep.
And they are free.
Is there a URL or someplace people could go to get the schedule? Angelique, why don't you throw out the URL and then go into talking about the hearing?
I would love to.
Go ahead.
ED Alliance. Yes, ED for education. edalliance.iupui.edu. Again, edalliance.iupui.edu. You can learn more about all of this.
And we also had an insert, a full-color insert, in the latest Indianapolis Monthly magazine, the same magazine that featured all the wonderful restaurants that I got in my mail recently. There was a full quarter-page ad in the last Sunday's paper. We have a full media blitz to hopefully get out to individuals more about where and what's going to be going on.
Okay. Yes.
So tell us about the hearing, Angela.
Oh, well, I would love to. The hearing is, we think, a fairly innovative approach to the 60th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. And let me just say, the committee was intentional.
And there probably are people we ought to explain. Brown versus
Board
of Education.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
Was the big case, that desegregated schools.
Exactly,
in this country,
right. Exactly.
So.
But once again, it was intentional that we have the Education Weekend on the 60th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. That was intentional. We understood that this was a moment for looking back and looking forward, that we're at a pivotal point in our history to say, what have we learned and what do we need to know going forward? So the question will be posed on trial at the hearing. And we have here in the materials that you can find online the pivotal question: how far have we come or not on the eve of the 60th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education? And there will be a public debate for and against why that is the case.
And who's going to be doing the debating?
Oh, we're going to have lots of fun here. It's going to be at Marion University.
Okay.
It's going to be there at the Evans Center for Health Sciences on Cold Spring Road. We will have Ms. Mary McCoy from the Education Office of the Archdiocese, Mr. Kariga Roush, the Equity Project of Indiana University, the Reverend Dr. Felipe Martinez from the Whitewater Valley Presbytery, Rabbi Britt Kersever from Indianapolis Hebrew Congregation, Ms. Judith Sabula, some will know from The Star, now at the Center for Faith and Vocation at Butler University, Mr. Andrew Hallman from Marion University Department of Religion and Philosophy. And yes, you're stuck with me as well. So we'll all be there. We'll be debating the issues, and it's going to be a hearing. Literally, it's a court case to put that question on trial.
So who's going to be arguing the for and who's going to be arguing
the
against?
Well, that's why you have to come.
Okay.
So that's the mystery.
So
you have to come and see who's going to argue for and against. Not necessarily their opinion, but they're going to argue one way or the other.
So let me ask, do you get to choose which side you're on, or were the straws drawn?
Let's just say there was a consultative process.
There was.
There was a consultative process,
we
discerned this is the way.
Yes, I like that. You go, Anthony.
Okay.
Yes.
And again, if people want to attend that, where and when will it be?
I'm pleased to say Marion University, which has been just terrific, is hosting at Michael A. Evans Center for Health Sciences,
that beautiful new building
in the auditorium, 3200 Cold Spring Road.
Okay. And no tickets. It's
no
free.
Tickets. You're welcome.
Just show up.
And
it can happen. Okay.
Right. And there will be opportunities for brief interventions from the witnesses in the room.
All right. So they'll be able to ask questions. What is, Charlotte, real quickly, what's going to constitute success for the Education Weekend? Is it just that people pay a lot more attention to these issues, or are there measurable things that you're looking for?
Well, I think from the weekend, we're going to, of course, measure the number of folks that actually attend the event, the number of folks that are engaged in the event. But I really want people to understand this educational attainment, we're in it for the long haul. We have a lot of issues here in Marion County that need to be addressed and can be addressed with more education. So I don't want people to think, well, this Education Weekend is celebratory, good things are going to happen. We have to be in it for the long haul. Because unfortunately, even at 60 years after Brown versus Board of Education, we have some real challenges as far as opportunities for education in the city.
We are talking about education here on No Limits. My guests are Angelique Walker-Smith and Charlotte Westerhaus-Renfro, both of whom are with the Central Indiana Education Alliance. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about education today on No Limits. In advance of the Education Weekend from Central Indiana Education Alliance, my guests are Angelique Walker-Smith, who's the executive director of the Church Federation of Indianapolis, and Charlotte Westerhaus-Renfro, lecturer of management at IUPUI, both of whom sit on the executive committee of the Central Indiana Education Alliance. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, we were talking about the Education Weekend before we went to this, and I'd asked Charlotte right as we were running into the break, what constituted success. And just at the moment you were about ready to get to numbers, Charlotte, the music started to play. So,
well, before we talk about success, a lot of times we have to talk about where we're at. Where is the starting line? And why do we need to move forward? And why is it so important for us to be successful with these ventures that we're doing with the Central Indiana Education Alliance? You know, these are the facts. In Marion County, 36% of our children are in poverty. 36%. Now, what does that mean? Well, one more thing to add to that equation. If you look at the number of individuals in our county who actually have a college degree, let's go the other way. Those who don't. 90% of the African Americans in our county do not have a bachelor's degree. And that's a low, very low number. There are quite a few others who don't have degrees as well. Now, about 20% have some college, if you look at everyone, whether they be Caucasian, African-American, Hispanic, or Asian. But why is this important? Why do we look at numbers like poverty, how much education you have? Because the data shows the more education you have, the higher your median household income, the more viable you are financially, and you're healthier. Right now, we know that the median salary in Marion County for a high school graduate is $26,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is not too bad. But the median salary for a college graduate is almost $42,000. That's almost double.
Yeah.
And people say, well, what's that have to do with how much money you make?
Oh, that's more than a 50% increase.
Yeah. You know what? Well, that's why I'm a lawyer, not a mathematician. But so your salary goes up, your well-being goes up, and that money goes right back into our state economy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And less money to support individuals because of low income. To me, this is such a win-win argument when people say, what's poverty have to do with it? Education eradicates, no matter what the demographic, no matter what the age, eradicates, in most cases, poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And the state is more viable without poverty. And it's a social issue, but it's an economic issue as well. So measurably, we want to see, as a result of the endeavors and initiatives, the education, the outreach, the Central Indiana Education Alliance, we've got to see these numbers improve if our state's going to be viable or continue to be viable.
Mm-hmm. Is there... You know, if there's been a motif here, you know, a word I've heard you repeat over and over again, it's collaborative or collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, discussions about education in this state have been pretty polarized for at least two decades and probably longer. Is that part of what the Education Alliance is trying to get past, is move beyond that sort of argument back and forth about education policy and start with, you know, these are the things we can agree on. Why don't we build from there? Yeah. Angelique?
I would say so. I mean, I think this is a point of saying, okay, what is your starting point and where can those starting points come together where we can find agreement to begin to talk about how do we move the dime forward? So I would agree with that. I think that's exactly what's going on. I think also what Charlotte was saying about the economic piece is very important. We do have business leaders also at the table, and we're hearing business leaders say, yes, we need to do more with continuing education. We need to do more in terms of partnering with our colleges and universities, research, and education. So I think when we're in the room and we hear those kinds of commitments instead of hearsay, you know, no, really, you're doing this out there, you're not. When you're at the table together, you can hear each other differently. So we're trying to bring divergence into coherence, if we can put it in those terms, where we actually try to strategize around a movement where all can agree that we need to move together.
Are there teachers represented as part of the group?
Yeah.
And how were they selected?
Yeah. There is a committee that looks at where kind of the gaps are in terms of who needs to be at the table and makes nominations on behalf of the executive committee. And that is very intentional. We're looking at places who can help us fill some of these gaps, if you will, so that we have that kind of expertise in the room.
And they're not just they're teachers from the K-12. We have teachers, community college. We have teachers from various universities. We have the private universities. We've got public universities, university with a religious background. Backing this, you know, the executive committee, of course, is the core, but we have a lot of auxiliary committees that are working as well. Now, what we really need, and I hope this weekend does it, is the community awareness,
exactly,
the community input, the community holding us accountable, and for what we can do to make a measurable change. And that's why we're having this education weekend. The goal is if this weekend goes well. In 2015, we'll have Education Week. Can you imagine a whole week without the polarization, without the politicizing, a whole week where Marion County can be focused on collaboratively on supporting the achievement, the well-being of individuals who need, want, I will say again, and need higher levels of education.
Yeah. And that is part of the goal, is to think about how does this begin to be a greater launching pad to help us move forward with the Education Weekend.
And just like Brown versus Board of Education was a great launching pad, Angelique and I and others who have worked on this have had long, in-depth conversation of what Brown versus Board of Education did as a launching pad to provide opportunities for education, equal opportunities for education for all, for all who were denied before Brown versus Board of Education. I would garner that many of our listeners, knowing what I know about baby boomers and Generation Xers, if they're millennials, they probably don't even recall a time what it was like before education was not open. Quality education was not open for all that sought it. Now we have Brown versus Board of Education, but we still have these disparities.
Yeah.
And what I find excited about this particular group, and you mentioned polarization, I think, of course, there's always going to be perhaps some great opportunities for differences in opinion on how we're going to enhance levels of education. I know sometimes if I have an ailment, I'm going to go to two or three physicians, especially if it's serious, for different opinions. They may have different opinions. But I can tell you one thing. The folks around this table, I don't get a sense we're concentrating so much on differences on how we are united on the what, and the what is we've got to improve. We've got to make some viable improvements on education for so many of our individuals. And it goes from cradle to grave. We've got a lot of folks who are adults, who about 20% of the adults in Marion College, in Marion County have some college education, but haven't gotten a bachelor's degree.
How difficult, because the other refrain that's been a persistent one in this conversation, and I should invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You also can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. The other refrain has been getting data. And obviously, that's been a point of contention. We've had a school grading system that's come under fire and has become a flashpoint. You know, we recently had the whole teacher evaluation thing where, you know, the legislative architect of the system, in effect, disavowed it after the results came in. Has that proved to be more difficult than you thought? We tend to think of gathering data as something that's relatively simple, But it has not proved to be simple in this state. Angelique, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very good that the Education Alliance has a broad spectrum of participation in the data collection. I mean, there is a committee of diverse voices and diverse approaches working together to try to come up with a way in which to understand and to present the data. I think that's what helps us. So it's not just one person in a room doing this, but it's really a more integrative approach around what data we need to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And what data do you need?
Well, what we really need is some of the things that Charlotte has just mentioned. You know, these kinds of details around how poverty interacts in terms mm-hmm. of the gaps. How does race and ethnicity play a role? How does one's status, I mean, generally speaking, in terms of family households, how does that stack up against where some of the gaps are?
So you're arguing for a more holistic approach to education.
Exactly
here,
right.
That it's taking the schools out of isolation as part of the problem and saying, in effect, we got to look at the schools as only one piece of this equation. Is that fair, Charlotte?
And also, I think I've seen some very positive things happen within this alliance where people are starting to share their data mm-hmm. without the fear of repercussions on how it will be actually, shared with the public. Mm-hmm. If you take the politics out of it, folks around the table now are more open to sharing data in regards to their graduation rate, sharing data in regards to the number of their honor student, because we understand some of the stark realities that we're going to have to overcome if we actually don't. I really will say this, too, as well. Sometimes the hardest thing is getting people around the table. But once you get them around the table, you see so much that you have in common. And I have a strong sense, that this alliance actually is helping to decrease that polarization. It's helping us to collect data on a common, and I'm not a statistician, mm-hmm. but on a common ground where we're all sharing the same thing and starting to measure the same thing. And then once again, we are committed to supporting each other when the data comes out, not with condemning mm-hmm. that your ISTEP scores say this or your graduation, but saying, okay, this is where we're at. And this is where we need to be. Let's join hands and let's get there together. And this is real old school. That was the basis that got us the Brown versus Board of Education. After we realized the poor status for a certain group of individuals in our country for education, at that time was African Americans, after the finger pointing, mm-hmm. people got together collectively. And it was a multiracial group, multireligious group.
Yeah.
And Angelique can tell you what the Catholic faith has done. I can know others can
Absolutely.
Tell you what the Jewish faith. They came together mm-hmm. and say, okay, this is dismal. But, all right, we're going to do something about it. And we're going to do something about it in the streets. And we're going to do something about it in the courts. Now in 2014, that battle is for a certain mm-hmm. point is over. Where are we? Mm-hmm. Is it where we need to be? And let's join hands in the same way we did back in the day mm-hmm. and get something done productively on the behalf of our children. You know, one of the things that kind of gets me sometimes, and here in Indiana, we've got to give people, I guess, a little bit more on fire on mm. what the consequences could be to our state if we don't fix this, if we don't get those graduation rates up.
Mm-hmm.
The consequences not to just Marion County, but to our entire state, rural counties as well. And I hope we can do a better job at being persuasive to the public and letting them know that education is important. Education can help the state. And if we're going to help the state, the best way to do that is to enhance educational opportunities for all.
And to Charlotte's point, if I just very quickly say, the role of faith, I think, has been critically important here. If you look at the history of education in the state of Indiana, faith groups were doing education or creating opportunities for education even before the state adopted that as a policy for public education. Moreover, to Charlotte's point as well, we do want to remember someone like Cardinal Ritter, for which one of the awards mm-hmm. is acknowledged. Mm-hmm. He, with the stroke of a pen in the 30s and the 40s, said our Catholic schools will be integrated
yeah.
before the public schools did. Went from here, then to St. Louis, did the same thing, and was a part of the whole conversation of Brown versus Board of Education. So we've got a wonderful story here of what we mean by some of the points raised.
We are talking about education and the Central Indiana Education Alliance here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Sue, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I was told by a student at Tech High School about his schedule that he's required to meet to get to school. He has to get up at 5:30 to catch a 6:15 bus to be in his seat at 7:20, at which time he's considered tardy. Certain times of the year, the sun doesn't even rise until 8:20. You know, I just, Indiana was moved to, from the, its normal original central time zone to the eastern time zone in the 1960s. And those reasons for that move are no longer valid. It was for businesses doing business with the East Coast, but computers have totally negated that. And yet we're stuck with this time zone. And it's not daylight saving time. It's the time zone that's the problem. Buses all over Indiana start picking students up around 6 o'clock. Number one, they're traveling in the dark to school, which isn't safe. And number two, their biological clocks just aren't in sync with our civil clocks. And I think this is a real concern. I think we can try all we want to do to improve education in Indiana, but until the sunlight schedule is more compatible with students' alertness, I think we have a major problem until that happens.
Thanks very much for the call and the comment. We will discuss. Thank you, Sue.
Okay, thank you.
Well, in a sense, what she's talking about, how far back are you willing to take a step in terms of looking at, you know, how we structure even the school day or, you know, as a community, how we structure our schedules to be conducive toward educating young people? Angelique?
Well, I would just say that for every school system, for every local community, there are particular concerns that need to be addressed. And I have found what's really helpful is to be able to listen to the parents. What do the parents have to say about their child relative to getting up in the morning, their school systems? We need more parent engagement around the concerns, like it sounds like perhaps a mother is expressing here on this call. We need more parental engagement. That's one of the concerns of the Education Alliance. How do we speak more to the concerns of the parents, who ultimately, in the long run, are very key to the success of educational performance?
Okay. We've gotten a question, actually, from a parent via Twitter, and if you want to connect with us via Twitter, you can do so at WFYI. It says, does this alliance only focus on Marion County? I live in Anderson and want my kids involved in STEAM programs. Charlotte?
Right now, it is focused just on central Indiana, and not just Marion County, but the counties that are surrounding it as kind of like the donut of those counties. But what I can say, hopefully we can be a seed. And wouldn't it be wonderful if this could be the sprouting, if we could have various educational alliances like the Central Indiana Education Alliance sprouting throughout the entire state. Now, remember, we're only 3 years old. But I think as a result of which I know will be a very successful weekend, and I encourage you to stay tuned about how this goes. And then next year, our Education Week. I can't speak on the behalf of Chancellor Bantz, who's convening this, but I don't think there would be anything that would do any. The only thing would happen would be good if we could have not only a Central Indiana Education Alliance, but if we could have similar alliances like this throughout the state. So I really appreciate your question.
And well, I know that the alliance was created in part because of best practices in other parts of the country.
Right.
And then the second piece is, as for STEAM Day, you are welcome
to come regardless.
We don't care where you come. It's called free.
You're not going to be checking IDs
exactly.
at the door.
No,
or
no, that's
like
right.
That.
And okay. It's from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Fashion Keystone Mall.
Fashion Mall at Keystone at the Crossing.
Fashion Mall
at
Keystone. Yes. Well, now it's a Fashion Mall at Keystone. I think they dropped the crossing. I'm not sure why. Yeah. But it is from 11 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, May 17th. You are free to come and free to take this back to Anderson and see what you can do.
Exactly.
We are talking about education here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Angelique Walker-Smith and Charlotte Westerhaus-Wernfo. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about education and the Central Indiana Education Alliance's Education Weekend. Focus on STEAM Day. We've already gotten several questions about STEAM Day. My guests are Angelique Walker-Smith, who's the executive director of the Church Federation of Indianapolis, and Charlotte Westerhaus Renfro, lecturer of management at IUPUI. Both sit on the executive committee of the Alliance. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Greg, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's
Sorry,
on your mind?
Fire truck.
Oh.
Shutting the window. Well, I'm an educator.
Okay.
And I'm listening to the conversation, and a couple of things that have really bothered me about school is the kind of like schizophrenic way that we do education. We know definitively, and I just looked up a couple of studies just while I was on hold, that students in high school function better when they've had more sleep. It's just their chemistry. It's the way they're wired. And why we force the kids to go to school so early in the morning, I can't understand. And in children of primary age, they function better earlier. And it even makes sense, even if you look at a child care issue, to get those kids to school earlier so the parents can go off to work, whereas high school kids can take care of themselves. But why are we so fixated on starting school so early for high school kids? I mean, it really hurts the kids, I think.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Greg. We'll see if we can get you an answer. Well, Charlotte, I'll throw that one to you first.
Well, thank you. That was like an Andrew Luck pass. I won't drop the ball on that. I think, once again, it's questions like this that hopefully we don't have the answer right now. What the Central Indiana Education Alliance can do with the consortium of educators, we have the Dean of Education, for instance, from Marion University, our esteemed Executive Vice President, or Dean, Patricia Rogan at Indiana University. Well, we'll hopefully get input from educators and parents like that, like you, or you're an educator. I'm not sure if you're a parent, Greg. And we can do more research. Because I've seen the same research. I've seen it reported in a variety of journals, as well as the New York Times, that children do better with more sleep early in the morning. And I'm old school. I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm old enough to remember that I didn't start school until 9 a.m. But it is contextual, and I now live in Indiana. I think this is something that we can discuss with our superintendent, our state superintendent, who is doing, I think, a really great job as far as getting input from the public. And she was voted in, I think, on a public mandate to look at the context of Indiana and what our children need. So I don't have the answer for you, but what I can tell from the nature of the questions that we've gotten one, two in a row about the time, this might be something for the Central Indiana Education Alliance to do research on and supporting what we're supporting our mission, and that's the success of our students.
And the good news is we do have not only educators, but also health providers who
are on
the Alliance, people like Virginia Kane at the Marion County Health Department, who can help us with that
who
kind of reflection.
Who can talk about like that, the sort of stuff. I mean, there's been mountains of new research on how the brain processes information. We know a lot more about that than we did even a decade ago. Got an email question from a listener. Says that does the new community report data show any particular information about all the school choice options in Indianapolis now, charter, magnet, etc.? Is there anything in there that deals with that?
No, what we do basically is show aggregate data on points such as graduation rates, things of that sort. We show information in regards to educational attainment. We look at the number of children, low-income children, receiving child care. The question, I would probably need a little bit more information in regards to the question, but we have not looked into that particular issue.
So the school choice or those options are not really, are they not a focus of the Central Indiana Education
We have representatives from those particular vantage points. They are part of the conversation, but the research that we've done thus far does not speak to that.
Because that is one of the flashpoints in education. Mm-hmm. Has it been a conscious decision that, you know, we're going to start with the stuff that we all agree on, and then we'll worry about the stuff that we disagree about down the road?
Well, I actually don't think it's been a conscious decision.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's been conscious.
I think basically I really haven't gotten a sense it's been a conscious decision. We were 3 years old. I think it's been a conscious decision for us right now is to make sure that people understand that we're here to develop the alliance, to develop the trust,
right,
and to get the data All right, that can be an impetus, can be a catalyst for change. And based on the questions that are coming in, I think that our next meeting is going to be a pretty lively discussion of things that we've learned from the public. And that's why we're doing this, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
We are talking about education here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Shannon, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. And first, I want to applaud your guests for their efforts and just putting this on the table. I moved back to Indianapolis after being gone for about 9 years. I lived in Washington, D.C. and Atlanta, Georgia, and I left with no kids and came back with two. And
it was an eventful 9 years. So.
Yeah.
Well,
continue, Shannon.
I came back thinking I would just come back to my same old Indianapolis school system. I was a product of busing. I went to school in the 70s and 80s and I got bused out to the township schools and had a wonderful time. I'm one of the 10% that have a bachelor's degree. I'm African American.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I went to Indiana University, Bloomington, and came back thinking, this is great. My kids will have the same opportunities. And I was appalled at what had changed over the 20-year period since I've been in school. My school that I went to in elementary and junior high school was predominantly white because I was bused, and so it was desegregated. But over time, I think over that 20-year period, it completely reversed itself. It's predominantly minority now, and when I came back here, I looked for data. I looked, where do I send my kids? I couldn't find a school that had high scores. I couldn't find any public school that was doing well. And there just seemed to be this huge apathy amongst people about education. Nobody even could tell that, this school used to be very mixed or predominantly white or very desegregated mixed, and it's not now. And people would look at me like, oh, I never noticed that. And I couldn't believe how things had changed under the nose of everybody, and nobody realized it. And so me having children now, it's all important to me. Of course, before I had kids, I didn't really think about it much. But now that I have kids, I'm very aware of it. It took me forever to go out and find data on the Department of Education's website and just figure out where to send my kids to school. Ended up going to a township school, and the first day my daughter walked in, there was 35 kids in the first grade classroom, and she was completely overwhelmed. Coming from Atlanta, Georgia, where we were in a classroom of 10 kids in kindergarten. So it was just a shocker to me. And the other point, you talked a little bit about parental engagement. I tried to bring some ideas back from my travels. When I was in Atlanta, the school we were at, there was a requirement for parental engagement. You had to put in so many hours of volunteering with the school. And if you didn't, your kid ran the risk of not being able to return. And I don't see that here. Even though I hear the teachers say we want parents involved, nothing is done about it. There's no requirement. Nobody follows through with it. And then even, oddly enough, because I think I am an active parent, when I do try to be involved and do try to assist, I get sort of a, well, we really don't want you involved. We want you involved, but we don't want you involved. So it's interesting. I completely applaud what you're trying to do, and I'm glad somebody's putting it on the table, because for the last 5 years since I've been home, when I bring it up, people just don't really know what I'm talking about with the changes. And we have a huge issue with the randomness and parental involvement and the data. So whatever you can do with your effort will be very welcomed. And that's my comment.
Thanks very much for the call, Shannon. Mm-hmm. Well, how common is that perception, obviously? I mean, she's talking about, a change of culture in education here in the past two or three decades. Mm-hmm. I think she said she went back to the 70s, so maybe four decades. Mm-hmm. Is the sense that, that things have declined. Is that one of, there's an awful lot in the report. There's an awful lot in Education Weekend's agenda here that suggests trying to celebrate successes.
Yes.
So that, you know, you're changing kind of the mindset about where education is and what's possible. Is having to deal with that perception that it's been on the decline for a long time one of the big challenges, Angelique?
Well, it certainly is one of the big challenges, and that's why we are having the hearing on next Friday. The hearing is really going to look at both sides of the issue, and we really are going to be inviting audience participation during part of the, if you will, the question on trial. Because we understand there has to be a balanced conversation around where have we been and where are we going? Because we're not totally there yet. So that's exactly the point of the hearing. So, yes, we want to celebrate where the successes have been and, to Charlotte's point, really recognize where sometimes the stories aren't told that are really making a difference. But at the same time, we do want to have that feedback from the caller who called in. And I might add that on STEAM Day and the other events, there will be opportunities for people to give that input into the Alliance. So we very much welcome this kind of contribution.
And just Shannon, I want to first thank you for coming back. And we need you, and we need your advocacy, and we need your voice, and we need you to help educate all of us and parents like you about maybe the way it was when there were some things that were good and how we need to bring those things back. And I am a parent. I am a grandparent. My daughter is actually a teacher at one of the charter schools, Tinley Preparatory Academy, and she is surrounded by parents who really are engaged. And so there are examples of engaged students in our public schools, engaged parents within our public schools. But I will say this, if we didn't have a sense in our community that we had a problem, we wouldn't have formed the Central Indiana Education Alliance. However, sometimes you need to be motivated. You need to be engaged. You need to empower those who are doing well. And that's what we want to do this particular week with the education or education weekend.
We've gotten an email question, comment really, from a listener who says, if you are trying to increase educational awareness, why did you choose to mix religious views? In my opinion, we will never reach the educational levels you seek if you have political biases. Church should stay out of education.
Well, I have good news for you. It's not just the churches. It's a multi-faith, interfaith approach. We are not saying one faith or the other has anything less or greater than the other one to offer. We believe across the faith spectrum, there are contributions that are positive and encouraging. We also need to recognize history. History says, this is just basic history, that the faith community was oftentimes, if you will, ahead of the curve, the pioneers. Most of the universities and colleges right here in Greater Indianapolis were founded by people of faith. The academies, a lot of the schools were founded by people of faith. There are universal values and truths that rang amongst the different faith traditions. Oftentimes in this context, it's been Christian, but there have been many faiths that have been involved. But we need to find where those values are consistent with what we need in our communities, which is citizenship, leadership, courage, a lot of these virtues that are part of the identity of various faith traditions.
Is that something you're going to talk about with the, you know, at the hearing on Brown? Because, you know, I mean, the probably what is still the most controversial phrase in Brown versus Board of Education is the "with all deliberate speed." There have been a lot of people who've argued that, yeah, we're still moving deliberately 60 years later,
and all
of that, and a large part of the civil rights movement.
Yes.
Which, by and large, was church-led, faith-based, was to say deliberate's not fast enough. We got to move. We got to move quicker than that. Are we going to talk about? Are you going to talk about that in the hearing as well?
Yes, we are. In the hearing, one of the touchstones, whenever you make an argument in basic debate, you've got to have a touchstone of where you're getting the fuel or the scholarship that's going to drive the debate. One of the touchstones for us are these very basic principles and virtues of faith, and how do they help provide instruction and direction for our young people or for people who are educated to provide leadership in their communities. It's not just about the curriculum.
And I wanted to quickly add, and I'm not trying to support any faith over the other, but in regards to the your listener's question, a lot of people forget when we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday as a holiday, he was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther. King. And he walked besides rabbis.
That's right.
And fathers.
That's exactly right.
And all types of leaders, as well as governmental leaders and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. So the faith community has been integral in forming universities and supporting equality and equal rights. And I think it's something we need to celebrate and acknowledge.
Yes.
I'm going to try to sneak one more call in. Okay. Abby, welcome to the program.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Certainly. We're getting tight on time, so if you could be quick, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Okay. I just want to take this opportunity, and someone changed my life, which is Karna Ritter. After watching Oprah Winfrey, I'd like to thank her, Waiting for Superman. As soon as I saw that, I found out what the problem was with my daughter, and I came to Karna Ritter, and I applied to another school. They were accepting her with her score. They wouldn't accept her with her I-STEP score. But Karna Ritter took her as she was, and I'm going to give the credit to Miss Hoyt. She gave her summer book to read. She started with a C in ninth grade. Now she's honor roll. I would like to thank Karna Ritter for this opportunity. And I'm involved. I do what I can. I felt a little bit because I didn't know. I didn't watch Superman, Waiting for Superman for my first and second child. They're struggling. One of them is planning to go back to college. And I don't want to take your time, but I want to take this opportunity to whatever they're doing, Karna Ritter, I appreciate.
Thank you very much for the call and for sharing your story, Abby, and I'm very glad your daughter is doing well. Well, how many, you know, what do we need to do as a community to make stories like that more common?
I think coming together in a collaborative manner is one of the keys to future success. When we're able to open up the table, share our views that may differ in terms of tactics or methodologies, but to agree that we have a common vision and to figure that out is one step in the right direction. And that's what the Alliance stands for.
And obviously, we've got Education Weekend coming up,
yes.
And this is a big deal. So for the Alliance, Charlotte, could you tell people again where they can go to get information if they want to attend?
If they want to attend the events, they can go online at Ed Alliance, and that's EDALLIANCE, edalliance.iupui.edu. In addition, if you want information by phone, you can call area code 317-278-2035. That's 317-278-2035. I am sure. Go ahead.
That'll have to be, I think, the last word. I'd like
thank
to thank
you.
Angela Walker-Smith and Charlotte Westerhaus Renfro. I'm
thank
John
you.
Kroll. You've been
really
listening to No
it.
Limits.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman, and Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.